Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Shavuot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. It is daf Chof Tet, and we're right at the Halakha Mishnah. So yesterday we learned about we actually got to the end of the Inyan of Shavuos Bitui, and we introduced this idea of Shavuos Shav, and what the Chiyuvim are Shavuos Shav, and now we finally get to the Mishnah that we've actually referenced numerous times before, about what constitutes a Shavuos Shav. Is Zogi Shavuot Shav, Nishba L'shanot Et HaYadua La'adam. So somebody says that something that everyone knows is one way is another way. So everybody knows that a particular column in a building is made out of stone, and this guy claims that it's made out of gold, and he swears to that effect. Or that a man is actually a woman, or that a woman is actually a man. Nishbal davar she'i efshalo, if he swears to do something, or seeing something, which is impossible. So let's say he says, Im lo ra'iti gamal she'porer ba'avir, I saw a flying camel. Or Im lo ra'iti nachash ke'korat beit abad, I saw a snake that was like an olive press, the main beam in an olive press, all of which will be discussed in the Gemara. Omar le'idin, bo'u va'iduni, come to me and present testimony in my benefit in the Beit Din, and they say, we absolutely swear we will never do that for you. Now, that is not called Shvata Idut. A Shvata Idut is where the person denies that he knows testimony, and he lies about that. But that's not what's happening over here. Here he's just saying, I am not going to be Mekayim the mitzvah of testifying for you because I don't want to. But that would be a Shvua that was against a mitzvah. And since that we say the Shavua is not Kal, so then he's just wasting his time, so to speak, and making a Shavua to no purpose. So any of the mitzvahs, Nishba levatel es ha-mitzvah, shelo lasot sukkah, shelo litol lulav, shelo na'aniach tefillin, those are Shavuot, not Shavuot bitui, those are Shavuot shav, because they cannot be kept. Therefore, they're just using the Shavua for no purpose. This, Zoi Shavuot Shav, this, as we defined above, is the nature of a Shavuot Shav, Shechayavina Zedona Makot, V'yal Shigigata Patur. So that is the one that we know that it says in the Pasuk, Kilo Yinake Hashem, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not let you up. That means there's no carbon for that. But as we were Medayik before, Beit Din Shel Mata, they are Lokin, and they will actually in which case there is a chiyav of malchus, but there is no chiyav of korban. So now, for instance, putting together these issues, the shvuah shav and shvuah bitui, so a guy first makes a shvuah. Shvuah sh'ochal kikarzu. I swear I'm going to eat this pita. And then he says, I swear I will not. So the first one is a typical shvuah bitui. And that, of course, is actually b'chayivim. He said he's going to eat that today, and he's going to have to eat it today. And if he doesn't, so then he's going to be over on l'harav l'ayitiv. So he would have to bring a carbon if it was b'shogeg and so on. But the second one, in which he says, I swear I'm not going to be mekayim my shvuah, that is a shvuah to be mevatel a mitzvah. And that is a shvuah shav, as we said. And on that, there is no Yechiv of a korban. So if he ate it, so then he was aval shvuah shav. Even if he ate it, that's fine, but he was still over on the shvuah shav. We'll see what that means, because why does he have to eat it to be over on the shvuah shav? Obviously, the moment he made that shvuah, it was a shvuah shav. Gemara will discuss this. If he didn't eat it, and he wasn't mekayim the shvuah bitui, then he was over al shvuah bitui. And here, once again, we're reminded of the psak that we brought before of Ula, that Ula says when it's swearing something that is certainly not the case, that's only considered to be a shvuah shav, instead of just a lie and a shvuah bitui, if three people know for a fact that it actually was a column of stone and was not made out of gold. But if he's just saying something that isn't so, that doesn't make it shav. That would just make it a lie. Nishba davar she'i efshar lo. So a guy says, Im lo ra'iti gamal, pore'er ba'avir. So Wait, I don't understand. What is imlora iti? That's a very strange way of saying a shvua. Well, if I didn't see a flying camel, what do you mean if you didn't see a flying camel? If we're talking about the guy actually swears that he saw a flying camel, so say so. I swear I saw a flying camel. But what's this strange language? Well, if I didn't see a flying camel, shvur shara iti lo kama. Note, he doesn't say I swear that I saw a flying camel. So then what does it mean to say imlora iti? If I didn't see a flying camel, then what? So Abaye says, well, yeah, that doesn't make sense. It's just what it really means is, this is the way the Ritva explains it, that what it really means is that I did see a flying camel. The reason the Mishnah says it in this way, because we don't want to talk about a shvua that is openly usur and is a lie and a shove. So we say it in a way that isn't mavlit so much that it shoves. But the reality is that the Mishnah was talking about the case of shvua shara iti. This is often the way the Ritva understands when it says tani. It doesn't mean change the girsa. It means that for some reason, this is the way we're expressing those words. Rava Omer, the guy says, if I didn't see a camel, a flying camel, then ye asru ko perot shebolam alai, im lo raiti gamal pareach baavir. So if I didn't see a flying camel, then everything that exists in the world, I am not allowed to eat any of it. So in that case, the obvious question is, maybe he really meant that. This is just a way of saying he wants to aser all of the perot olam alai, which is another question. That would be a shvua shav because of the fact that you cannot live without any perot in the entire world. It means any produce. Remember, perot doesn't mean only fruit. So, I mean, the pashtus is, if he really meant to aser the perot, then they would have just said, I'm asering all the perot. The point over here is he really meant to see that like this, you could say, okay, when he says a flying camel, what he means is like the Gemara Nakas talked about, you know, maybe the guy had a flying camel, meaning he had a very fast taxi cab. So the guy, to him, this was like, wow, this is the fastest camel I've ever seen. It was flying. But in order to make it clear that what he means is, no, I'm really talking about a flying camel. That's why he said it that way. In which case, we can't entertain the notion that he was just exaggerating, because he's actually going to assert things on himself in the event that he didn't see a flying camel. That's why we're talking about it as if he really meant to say what he's saying, literally. And therefore, it's a shvua shav. Omer le Ravina l'Ravashi. Well, why can't we say that the guy saw a big bird, and he calls it camel? So in his own mind, he's saying, yeah, he's swearing, so to speak, with his fingers crossed. In other words, I'm not lying. I'm using the words that I have previously assigned to this big bird. So this big bird is camel, and I swear I saw a flying camel, which you did if you're able to make a shvua based on your own meaning in your own heart. So maybe that's what he meant. And if you're going to tell me, no, we always go according to what the person said. And he cannot claim, well, I actually had created a situation where those words had a particular meaning that I assigned them. Maybe that's what you'll tell me. Is that true? You're telling me that we could never make a shvua based on some secret meaning that I provided in advance to the words, which would make what I'm saying actually make sense to someone. If that's true, then how do you explain the fact that it says in a braita that wherever we make a shvua in the Besdin, then we make that shvua with the following words? What we are making you swear is nothing to do with what you think. It has to do with what we think. So don't try to play games. So these are the words we tell them. Omrim lo, quote, Havi yodea, you must understand that shelo al da'atcha anu mashbi'in otcha. We are not making you take the shvua in terms of any interpretation that you have in your heart. It's entirely alal da'atenu ve'al da'at beit din. It has to be on the Das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what it really ought to say. We'll see later on. Al Das HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Al Da'atenu. So why would we have to say that? My time. If you're telling me that I can never make a shvua anyway by keeping something in mind and claiming that's what I was swearing to, why did Beis Din have to warn me that it has to be done according to the way that the interpretation is assumed by the court? Isn't it obvious that La Bishum Damrinan, Dilma is Kundre Yoivle? Maybe this guy had given the person that he owed money, he had given him some monopoly money, you know, and he said, I hereby dub thee money, you know, and he gives the guy monopoly money for his kid, and then when he's swearing, I swear I paid him $100,000 in cash. He means the monopoly money. He is swearing on the basis of his own preassigned meaning. And in order to avoid that, you see that the court has to go out of its way and make a particular proclamation that the guy has to accept in order to take a shvuah. So you see that it actually is possible for a person to make a shvuah based on his own kind of interpretation of the words. So then why are we assuming that a flying camel is a shvuah shav? Why don't we assume it is something or other that he assigned that name to, a big bird that flies, and he gave it the name camel? No. Wrong. The reason that Beis Din has to make that guy say, yes, I understand that it's entirely based on your own definitions, is not because of monopoly money. It's a completely different issue. And that's Asa Mishum Kanya Derava. That's because of the famous case that actually happened in Rava's Beis Din, where there was a need for a guy to make a shvua that he had paid up. So he says to the person who is suing him, all right, I'll take that Bible in my hand. You hold my cane for me for a minute, and I'm going to swear. So he gives the guy his cane, lifts up his hand unto the Lord, and says, I hereby swear that I gave that guy $300. The guy is so outraged. You incredible, absolutely shameless liar. And he takes the guy's cane and he smashes it on the ground, at which point the cane opens up and $300 silver dollars fall out from inside the cane. So the guy actually had given him $300. That's the point. But that's not monopoly money. That's a trick. But he really had given him that cane. So because of a situation like that, well, you never know what has been worked out over here to make that shvua a real shvua, despite the fact that he's not going to end up paying that money. In order to avoid that kind of thing, we make him say what we believe you mean when you say you paid him money. But it's not that he could arbitrarily decide that monopoly money is money. Really? Well, what about this? Tashma. V'chein matzinu, it goes right on in that same brayta, goes right on to say, V'chein matzinu kishishbiya Moshe et Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu had Klal Yisrael swear to the shvua on Har Grizim and Har Eval. So over there, that Arvais Mayav, that was the preparation for Har Grizim and Har Eval, he said to them the same words. Hamar lehem de'u shelo al da'atchem ani mashbi'a etchem, ela al da'at hamokom, al da'ati. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to say that? Apparently because they could have made some kind of their own definition. So if he would have said to them, I mean, lemelu, kaimu maidi omar eloa. So he could have said, just do whatever God has commanded you and say, yes, I do swear. Obviously because they would have sweared, yes, we swear to do whatever God has commanded us. But they're defining God in their own head as some kind of ridiculous cross or something. I don't know. So maybe that's because there's no way to get them to swear. So because of that, apparently Moshe Rabbeinu had to make certain that what's in their own mind, I mean, isn't an avodah zarah the same as monopoly money? And if they had that in their own mind, so then it would mean that we would have to worry about monopoly money, in which case we should have to think that when a guy talks about flying camels, he's really talking about Big Bird. And of course, this Big Bird actually can fly. So, and therefore it would be not a Shvuah Shav, right? No! Avodah Zarah is not monopoly money. Avodah Zarah is money. Because since we call Avodah Zarah in the Torah, we call it Eloah, right? It says Elohei Kesev, Elohei Zahav, all over the place. It talks about gods. So these gods are still called gods because people call them gods. So if he says, do whatever God says to you, they could say, yeah, well, it says in the Torah, we had the Elohei Kesev, and that was the God we were going to listen to. And that God said, just do whatever you like, boys. So we're keeping our Shvuah, right? Okay, come on. So he doesn't have to say, do what God says. He could have said, be Mekayim the Torah and swear I will be Mekayim the Torah. Yeah, but that would only be one Torah. Remember, you have to Shabbat Peh also. How come he didn't say? Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu should have said, be Mekayim both Torahs, I swear. Oh, they could have said both Torahs means Torahs Chatas and Torahs Asham. I mean, that's also called Torahs. Oh, for heaven's sake. So say, be Mekayim kol ha-Torah kula. How about that? If they say yes, then they're stuck, right? So why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu just say that? Well, that might mean keep the dinim of avodas kechavim, because it says in the Braita, chamura avodas kechavim shekola kefer bakomeda bekola Torah kula. So if a guy is kefer and avodas zarah, says, I kept my shvuah. I said I would keep kola Torah kula, and it's a beferish of Braita that if you're kefer and avodas zarah, you're keeping kola Torah kula. So there you go. Oh, for heaven's sakes, you're driving me nuts here. So why couldn't he say something like, okay, keep the mitzvah, which is the way that the Torah was given? Yeah, but they could say that we thought that meant one mitzvah. So say, keep the mitzvahs. So that would mean two mitzvahs. So say, keep all the mitzvahs. So that would have meant to put on tzitzit, because it says, shkula mitzvah tzitzit keneged kol mitzvot kulam. So say, I kept all the mitzvahs, because keneged the tarion mitzvahs. So why couldn't he just say, keep all 613 mitzvahs and make them swear to that? I mean, how could they possibly make that mean something else? It must be that you could just make up whatever you want. And that's why you have to say, it's on your own das. No, because look, even according to your shita, that you're claiming he would have needed to tell them it's on dati, so therefore, it's not the way you're just arbitrarily defining it. He still could have just said, we're defining this al dati. Why did he have to say al dat hamakom? So obviously, that wasn't necessary purely for the sake of seeing to it that we weren't talking about arbitrary definitions that they would have set up, because for that, it would have been enough. Whatever I think, that's what you're swearing on. Ella, the point over here was that normally you would be able to get a hatara for your shvuah, right? So you would come along and you would tell a bezin, you know, I didn't realize that I would get into so much trouble keeping these mitzvahs, and so you could get a hatara to your shvuah. But this way, if you do it al das of another, so that would mean there's no possible way that you would ever get a heter to your neder, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously is not going to agree that we decide to let you off for keeping the Torah today. So basically we hold, you really cannot just arbitrarily say that you call Big Bird a flying camel. And the next case that we learned was, Imlora iti nachash kikorat betabad. I saw this incredible nachash, and it was like, I mean, it seems like it's saying it was as big as the Korah of a Beit HaBat. Is there some reason why that can't be true? There was this incredible story of this massive python that had eaten people, which you hear about even today, and it kept attacking people and swallowing people, and they decided that they're going to get rid of the snake. So how did they end up getting rid of the snake? So they took animals, and they tied up the animals so the snake could get them. And they wrapped the animals in these large bales of hay. And hidden in the hay were burning coals. that were not obvious. The snake would swallow the large animal with the bale of hay, and that way, yes, indeed, that was definitely the last straw. In the end, they managed to get rid of that snake. And but you know how many of these surrounded coal things they had to have, barbecues they had to have? 13 barnfuls or stablefuls of hay. That's how big this one animal ate. So obviously he was at least the size of a beam of an olive press. I mean, that's not all that gigantic for a snake. So why can't he have actually seen something like that? Omar Shmuel, he wasn't referring to the size. He was referring to that it was a snake that was taruf, like a Beit Habat. So taruf means pashtus. Again, so a lot of people have different approaches to it. But the most reasonable, I think, in the Rishonim is that it means it was indented. It had these grooves in it, which is what you do have on a Korat Beit Habad, to allow the olive juice that's been pressed out to go through and to fall into the bud, and that's what it's referring to. So, okay, so Rashi says it just looked like it because it had like these marks on it. It was taruf. As I say, that probably the correct pshat is the taruf in the sense that it was grooved, or others learn taruf means that it was squared. And there's a Gemara that says that Yerushalmi that squares that says that there's no such thing in nature as an animal that is actually square. It may have flat surfaces, but it's not squared. So this guy was claiming that it was squared. So the Gemara asks, Kulu nami mitrav trifin, all snakes are toruf. So in the case that toruf means with spots, obviously, in the case that it means is grooved, it's also obviously. What does it mean that it's squared? Because if you take a look, there are there's actually a snake that is called the square-jawed snake. So there may be, like, on the neck, it may be squared. So kulonami mitrak frifin, but here we're talking about that the actual back was squared. The actual back had this coloration down it, or the actual back had these grooves running down it. Okay, whatever the case is. Next, says the Mishnah, if he first says, I'm making sure that I'm going to eat this, and then he swears that I'm making sure I'm not going to eat it. So the Mishnah said, the first shvua, that's a classic shvua bitul. And the second one is the one that's called the shvua shav. But then it says a very strange thing. If he eats it, so then he's going to be over on shvua shav. And if he doesn't eat it, he's going to be over on the shvua bitul. Now, that's a very strange. What do you mean if he eats it, he's going to be over on shvua shav? I understand. If he doesn't eat it, he's chayev only for shvuas bitul, you're telling me? He's not going to be chayev from shvuas shav because he didn't eat it? I mean, I thought the point is that the moment that he made a shvua, levatalas ha-mitzvah, that is a shvuas shav. Hare yatzta shvua l'shav at that moment. So why does it make it dependent on his eating it? Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, no. It means Tni af al shvuas bitui. In other words, even if he does eat it, he would still be over on a shvuas shav. And if he doesn't eat it, he's also going to be over on shvuas bitui, not only for shvuas shav, but obviously he's going to be chayev for the moment that he made this shvua to be mavatel the shvua. He's going to be automatically chayev at that point, no matter what he does. He's going to be chayev on the shvuas shav. Which brings us to, Sir Richard.
Mm-hmm. Three days, four shavuos, and we'll just add a sugya about Kabbalah of mitzvos and Kabbalah of Torah. And the seven shavuos, can we have a comment for Bibi about that? Even before the sea, I'm just going to 3 days and four shavuos.
My gosh.
Well, fascinating.
It's definitely fascinating, especially if you take into consideration that the reference here is not to Kabbalah of Torah. The reference is to the shavuah that was made in Arvas Mayav, which is actually, it takes us this question that, well, what happened to Mushpa V'yemid Mi'ar Sinai? This whole thing over here is talking about Davka Arvas Moab, right? Kishishbia, Moshe as Yisrael, says Tosfos, first of all, and it's a very interesting point, by the way, is what is the mitzvah to keep the shvuah if the only chiyuv that you have is because you made a shvuah to keep the mitzvahs? So how do you know that there's a chiyuv to keep a shvuah, which is one of the mitzvahs? It seems to be an impossible situation. Which one was it? But anyway, there's a fascinating thing here that has, yes, that does have to do with what we spoke about, the Gabi Shavuos. And all of the iterations, though, because remember, all along we're saying, Yismushpa va'imed mi'ar Sinai. And over here, it seems to be talking about Mushpa va'imed, not mi'ar Sinai, but we're analyzing the Shavuah in terms of some other point. But that's basically the idea, that we're, any iteration that we have of the Inyanim of Kabbalah HaTorah are all giluyim about the nature of that moment of the Yom HaShem Amadata L'fnei HaShem Elokecha, Dafka B'Chorev. And whatever it is, even if afterwards we're Mekabel the Torah over again at Har Sinai, it's at Purim time, let's say, that is still Har Sinai. And Bahar B'Chukotai is still Har Sinai, which is a tremendously important Nekuda, because the whole experience of Shavuos is an experience across all the generations of the developing Torah. So that even though initially it wasn't clear what Torah Shabbat Peh involved, or it wasn't clear why we don't have Vamodor Rabba Liyaraisa, all aspects of Kabbalah Satira are included in Shavuos. That's the same with all of the Moadim. So it's a tremendously important inyan to remember that the Moed is not limited in time. The Moed consists of all of the future that the Moed is going to bring us. It's a developing thing. We spoke about the vector of Shavuos. Okay, just to remind you. Anyway, if Barnea will allow us to continue, we shall continue. Lovely. Oh, absolutely. Okay. Shavuos Bitui Noheges. Now we're going to talk about, like the Sefer Chinuch does. So at the end of a discussion of a mitzvah and its dinim, we talk about who are the people that are chayev in this mitzvah, and when you're over on this mitzvah, what actually is the chiyev? Literally the structure that the Sefer HaChinuch took for himself in each one of the mitzvahs. So here to the Mishnah talks about the various shavuos that we just spoke about to explain to us who is chayev in it and where the onesh is at. Korban, where the onesh is. Malchus, even though we have all of those dinim, we actually recognize them from before, the Mishnah puts them together here as a klal. So Shavuos Bitui, that is a shvua that will apply equally to men and women. Noheget ba'anashim u'benashim u'bikrovim u'birchokim b'kisherim u'bepsulim b'fnei beidin v'shelo b'fnei beidin b'pi atzmo. All right, it seems to be saying that even though the reason that we're pointing out things that don't seem to be important, b'fnei beitin v'shelo b'fnei beitin, for instance, or k'sherim or psulim, meaning those people are kosher to give edus, is because since the Torah puts together these specific shvuos, which include shvuat ha'edut, shema kol alah, and shvuos ha'edus is only if the person is kosher la'ayid, not if he's pasul. Furthermore, as we spoke about earlier, you're only going to be chayiv on denying that you know edus. That's called the shvuos ha'edus, which is also one of the cases of a korban ola v'yori. You're only chayiv if the denial is made in front of the bezdin. But these, even though they're listed together with shvuos ha'edus, do not require any kashrus for ha'odah. Therefore, it's both men and women, people who are kosher or not kosher, and it has nothing to do with being in court, as long as it was mipi atzmo. Now, that is a little bit difficult. We're going to be talking about it in the Gemara, because we know that if somebody says amen to a shvua that the other person said, we've had numerous times, mashbiach ha'ani, piyomer amin. That's considered to be the equivalent of making the shvua yourself. Here it says it has to be mipi atzmo. Nobody else can be mechayev you. You have to make that shvua on your own. V'chayavin, what are the chayuvim if you're over on the shvua? You're chayev on mezid makot, and on shogeg, you're chayev the korban olah v'yored, as we've been talking. How about the next shvua that we discussed, the shvua shav? The shvua shav is noheged ba'anashim uvnashim as well, v'rechokim ubikrovim for edus, and therefore it doesn't matter whether you're related to the people or not, b'ksherin ubipsulim for edus, b'fnei beidin v'shalo b'fnei beidin, but here too, it's only a shvua shav when you make it yourself, b'pi atzmo. What is the chiyev? So the chiyev on the shvua shav is only b'mezid. Chayavin azdona makot. But on the case of shogeg, there is no korban, not korban olah v'yored, or not any of the other korbanos, because there is no chiyev of kares on it. Both of these, whether we're talking about a shvua zbitoy, we're talking about a shvua shav, achad zo v'achad zo, seems to be the most outrageous statement, you just said, all of these shvuas are only if it's bipi atzmo, and then you said, but either of them is chayav if it's bipi someone else. This is unbelievable. How can you be mushpa bipi acherim? So if somebody said, lo achalti ayom, or lo inachti tfilin ayom, and the other person says, mashbiach ha'ani, and he says, amen, even though it wasn't true, he would be chayav for a regular shvuas bitui. But the other person was the one who said mashbiach ha'ani. He never said anything about a shvua. All he said was amen. So therefore, what appears to be a contradiction in the Mishnah is immediately addressed by Shmuel's point in the Gemara. Omar Shmuel, when somebody says amen, kol ha'one amen achar ha'shvua, kemotzi shvua mipiv dami. It's exactly the same as having said that shvua. It's not just a buying into the shvua, because it's here, the whole point in the mission is that, as we'll talk out openly, is that it's only if you made it yourself. And yet, it says, "Mipi acherim yirchayev." And you could be medayik this from the Torah. Dichtiv, va'amra ha'isha, amen, amen. So over here, it says that the shvua and the kolola, that the sota actually takes upon herself, and that is powerful enough to be actually to kill her. That even though she never said it, she only said the word amen. So clearly, it would be the full equivalent of having actually spoken out the shvua and the Allah. Omer of Papa Mishmei Durava, yes, that's quite clear. If you take a look at what would otherwise be a ridiculous contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braita, obviously it means to tell me precisely what it was that Shmuel said. Diktani. Shu'at ha'edut. Now this Mishnah that has to shu'at ha'edus is tomorrow's Mishnah. And it says over there, Shu'at ha'edut noheged ba'anashim, but not b'nashim. So this Mishnah is actually the transition into the next parak. And here, it contrasts these two shvuas of shvuas bitui and shvuas shav, and in all of them, it's the opposite of the shvuas ha'edas, because where these are noyeg ba'anashim uvenashim, shvuas ha'edas is ba'anashim velo benashim. Where these are noyeg birachokim o bikrovim, obviously shvuat ha'edut cannot be noyeg bikrovim, because those people are not roy to be made, so how would they be chayim making a shvuas ha'edus if they can't testify anyway? And we'll see that's a fundamental rule when it comes to shvuas ha'edus. They would also have to be ksherim for edus, the lo bipsulim. Ve'eno noheget ela beru'in la'id, which comes, that the Gemara is going to be medayik later on, that comes to tell me that even though the person is roy, but he can't be made for other reasons. In other words, he's kosher, but he's not roi. For instance, a melech. So because of the chashivas of the melech, he is kosher lahayit, but he's not roi lahayit. We don't allow a bizoyan of the melech to come into court to be made for someone. So that's what that comes to tell me. And Now look at this. It wouldn't matter whether he was bifnei beitin, v'shalo bifnei beitin, mipi atzmo. If he denies knowing any edus, and he said that in his own words and made a shkua, he would be chayiv even outside of Besdin. But if others are going to be mechayiv him, then it would have to be in the Besdin. Bipi acherim in el chayiv an ad shichru ben bebeit din. So tan is Rabbi Meir. So that would mean that Rabbi Meir seems to be completely in contradiction to his own psak if you take a look at the Braita. The Tanya Bebraita. Shuat ha'edut keitzad amar la'edim bo va'eduni. Shvua she'enonu yodim l'cha'edut. So the people respond, we swear we don't know anything. O sha'amru, what if they didn't swear? They just said, we don't know any edut for you. And he says to them, mashbia aneni alechem. And they say, amen. The din is, bein bifnei beitin, bein shalo bifnei beitin. Uh-oh. So here it says, whether they said it themselves, bein mipi atzmo, bein mipi acherim, whether it's in front of Besdin or not in front of Besdin, the moment that they were kofer with the shvua, they're chayav, divrei Rabbi Meir. Now, a minute ago, Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah said that no, if they're going to be kofer in someone else's words, mipi acherim, it would have to be in Besdin. And here he says that even if the other people say, mashbia ani alechem, and they say amen, that they are chayav outside of Besdin. So how do you explain that? Kashinadani, total contradiction, right? Unless the point is that mipi atzmo includes saying amen, exactly as Shmuel said, because saying amen is the full equivalent, exactly as Shmuel was medayik, as if he was motze shvua mipiv, mamash. So you must be alalav shvamina, hada ana amen. Hadalona amen. So what do you see? Shmamina. The word amen is the equivalent of actually saying ani nishba. So that's the whole diuk. It's a beautiful diuk in the way to understand what the Mishnah is saying. That it's not just that someone is mashbia, it's your nishba by the other person giving you the opening to say amen. Omer avina mishmei derava. I mean, we don't have to go to the contradiction over there, Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah that we just read says exactly the same thing. Look, it says over here in the Mishnah, Shvuat bitui noheget banashim uvnashim biruchokim ubikrovim bikshirim upsulim bifnei beitin v'shelo bifnei beitin. And then it specifies mipi atzmo. Okay, I hear that very clearly. Only mipi atzmo in, but mipi acherim lo. The same Mishnah that we just read said at the end of the Mishnah, both the shvuas bitui and the shvuas shav. Zev zeh, if you're a mushpa mipi acherim, you would be chayev. How do you explain that? You just said it has to be said by you. Kasha nahadadi. Now, what do you see from here? Elalav shmamina, that one of the cases is talking about ana amen, and the other case is talking about where he was not ana amen. So, therefore, I don't need to look elsewhere. Our Mishnah is making the same idea very clear, that saying amen is the equivalent of being motzi shvua mipiv. Well, wait a minute. So, I mean, we've got two Mishnayas that essentially are telling us what Shmuel said. Can you explain to me why in the world Shmuel needs to say it? Tzevele Shmuel maika mashmon. Shmuel was coming duke de matniten. Kamashman. He wanted you to understand that the Mishnah means the very thing that it's saying. It's only if, I understand any two-year-old can figure out there's a difference between saying amen and between being mushba mipi acherim. But that doesn't say it, you see. The point is that the Mishnah, by setting itself in this way, is telling you how to recognize the difference between the concept of saying amen versus a besdin being mashbia you. You see, that's the point that Shmuel is making, that it's as if you actually articulated the shvua. So in order for you to see that, Shmuel had to spell out. You know what you see from this Mishnah? That saying amen is being nishba directly. So he's teaching you the extent that you need to be medayek in the contrast of the Mishnah to be able to come out with a full understanding of the Dukya de Masnisin. So Dukya de Masnisin, Kamashmalan, is coming specifically to teach us exactly that. Hadron Allah Shvot Shtayim.
No Fanta.
A little bit of Fanta, a little bit of Fanta, you know, doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Let's go a little bit. I mean, we'll...